Hello and welcome back. As always, even though we are under the Two Guys Gaming banner, this is One Guy Reading Dragons of Deceit by Margaret Weiss and Tracy Hickman. As you know, I meant to release this on Wednesday, but things get busy. I'm a dad who has to worry about play practice and soccer and swim lessons and those sorts of things. So, as it sometimes does, life got in the way, and this is now coming out on Friday. The next episode with Chapter 10 should come out tomorrow. So this is episode 7. We've read chapter 9. I'm going to recap it as I do, and then I will give some thoughts about the chapter. With this one and chapter 10, we will be done with book 1, and I will try to figure out a schedule for the next couple of weeks so that I can let you know at the end of tomorrow's episode. Last time we left Destina and her mother Atieno. Atieno said that the third omen was still possible, but that third omen never comes to pass. And in addition to her duty as lady, Destina is now preparing for her wedding as well. A bronze dragon, in the meantime, came to live in the mountains near the castle. And as part of her duty, she needs to go to persuade him to leave the village livestock alone. Atieno gives her daughter some pointers in how to deal with the dragon. We learn later that it reminds Destina very much of a Kender. Destina wonders aloud how her mother knows so much. Of course, Atieno went to visit the dragon because she's that quote-unquote bee I wrote in my notes here. She went to visit the dragon without telling anybody, and everybody, when they hear about it, of course, they are shocked because the matron of the house has gone to visit a bronze dragon and potentially get eaten or otherwise harmed. Destina gathers a traveling party, and she sets off to find the dragon. Weiss and Hickman use this interlude to weave in some mythology of Kryn gods and explain why Kender vexed Destina so much. If this is your first Dragonlance novel, I will explain the Kender thing. You're on your own with the gods. I don't care all that much about religion and gods in Dungeons & Dragons. I've never played a cleric, really. I think I did when Quinn and I played our little duo session together, but I did not really focus that much on the whole gods and whatnot. And a little bit more editorializing here. While I do like Weiss and Hickman's personification of the gods, I like the fact that they bring in some Greek mythology type things where they make the gods human and interact with the races of Kryn. I do like that. I find it a bit pretentious that they claim their gods to be quote-unquote other from traditional D&D deities. Maybe they needed to do that for copyright purposes. I mean, I'm no lawyer, but I do know that Hasbro and Wizards of the Coast got themselves in a little bit of hot water with this whole open gaming license thing. So maybe Weiss and Hickman are just trying to preserve their creation. Also, I know that places like Marvel and DC in the past have screwed over creators who have created product for them and then claimed the product under their banner so as their own. So maybe Weiss and Hickman were trying to do that. Speaking of lawyers, we get some in this chapter. I know, legal intrigue. Stay tuned. I'll talk about that in a minute. Destina convinces the dragon to leave the village alone and prey only on wildlife. The dragon, Saber, I kept wanting to call him Blaze in my notes for some reason. I kept having to look it up because I kept forgetting that it was Saber and not Blaze. Maybe the red dragon that Destina ends up riding, spoiler alert, possibly, is called Blaze or something like that. And it's just in the back of my mind that I know that for some reason. Invites them in to see his lair. Initially, they don't want Destina to go into the lair, and she's also kind of like, well, I didn't really come up here to visit you and visit with you. I just came up here for some business. So initially she says no, but then eventually the dragon convinces her and she goes into his lair to visit with the dragon. She sees a saddle in his lair and he talks about mounting and he shows her the different parts of the saddle, and she starts to remember her childhood dream of wanting to fly, and that brings that back a little bit. Alas, Destina will not fly this visit. Perhaps later. When they get back to the castle, she receives word that they are hosting her cousin and his wife, and two lawyers show up with them as well. Why lawyers, you ask? I'll give you a second or two to think about it. I said there was some legal intrigue earlier. Think about it. This is the cousin of the uncle. Oh yeah, now it's starting to make sense, right? Her cousin is here to stake his claim for Castle Rosethorn. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, now on to my thoughts about the chapter. Other than the quote-unquote big reveal at the end, I like this chapter. We get steps closer to the eventual dark side turn, it seems. They talk again about how Destina could let her grief go and she could start to move on with her life, but she'd rather feed that grief. She'd rather hold on to that part of her father. And I just more and more it's feeding into my thoughts that eventually we're going to get that turn to the dark side that I've been talking about the last few episodes. Also, the last couple of episodes I referred to the cover. I've been looking at the cover more. I've been studying the cover more because I remember an article or interview where Weiss or Hickman mentioned that on the cover of one of the books, they put a shadow across Raistlin's robes at the bottom of his robes that portends his transition to the black robes. He's wearing white robes in the picture, but there's a shadow at the bottom that you can see that shows that he's going to eventually turn to the black robes. On the cover of this one, other than Taz and Flint, that I've already talked about in the last episode or the episode before that, which is fairly obvious that Taz and Flint are going to show up if you just look at the cover, the dragon looks red. Saber is bronze, but perhaps she finds herself in the company of a red when she turns. And I mentioned earlier that I kept wanting to call Saber Blaze, and Blaze would be a red dragon's name. So maybe they're trying to get that across where this is Saber and he's bronze, but due to the reflection and due to the shadows and due to the sun going down, he looks red, which is similar to the Raistlin's robes. And it's showing that maybe she ends up in the company of a red dragon. Look, I understand that I'm probably not breaking revolutionary news here. You've probably already figured this out by this point if you read the book, or if you're reading the book along. Maybe you agree with me, maybe you don't, maybe you think I'm insane. But after being so wrong earlier about something, I can't remember exactly what it was, but I do remember that I had to quote-unquote apologize about something that I put forth because I was very terribly wrong about it. I can go back and I could listen to the episodes, but at this point, I just don't remember exactly what it was. I think I've earned the right now to feel proud about this one, especially as the clues continue to so obviously indicate that I'm right. Come back in a few chapters or books when I do my happy dance after Destina has her dramatic heel turn, because I know it's coming. Will I be happy when it happens? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. At this point, I like Destina, but I don't have a ton invested in her as a hero. So when she becomes a villain, certainly not as devastated as I was when Raistlin lost his shit and went absolutely bonkers and then ended up trying to challenge the gods and dying and all that stuff. That was really deep for me. At this point, it's fine. Destina's issue who she is, and if she ends up being a villain later on or evil or whatever you want to call her, it's no big deal to me one way or the other. Back to my original thought. I usually care little for family legal or political intrigue in these stories. I understand that people write them in and some people really like them. Some people even come up with fan fiction to insert them into stories because they're not there. It's just that doesn't get me. Other than the ridiculously oversexed story itself that I've heard about, I've never read anything by Game of Thrones or about Game of Thrones, or I've never seen any of the episodes of the show. I've never read the books, and I'm not trying to sound superior. I know some people try to sound superior for whatever reason because they've never read Harry Potter or they've never read Game of Thrones. That's not what I'm trying to do here. I'm just trying to put it out there that I've never read them because I'm not interested in them, because other than the oversexed story, I don't care that Lady Butterfly is mad at Lord Farquaad or whatever. I just don't care about that kind of stuff in these types of stories. And that's where they ended up with this one, where it's like he wants to take over the castle. And I find myself not really caring all that much if he gets the castle or not. Again, it'll probably just be another thing that'll piss off Destina and push her further down the path that I think she's heading down anyway. So maybe they'll just write it in as that and we'll be done with it. And hopefully we won't have to like deal with a whole bunch of backstory and history and all this nonsense. Hopefully it'll just be done. It'll piss Destina off and she'll become Darth Destina in a couple of chapters or in a couple of books when she finally breaks from all of this that's just been piling on top of her and piling on top of her. But who knows? Maybe she won't. You know, sometimes the females in these stories sort of mirror real life. I was just saying earlier to Christine that boys and men, even though they try to act macho, they seem to be the bigger snowflakes than they're saying everybody else is, and they just get so upset when things don't go their way. So who knows, maybe Destina will just absorb all of this and maybe she'll have like a breaking point, but then she'll come back from it and she'll say she will be the hero instead of the villain that I think she's going to be. As always, thanks for listening. I enjoyed this chapter. It wasn't one of my favorites, but it was fun. I liked the part with the dragon. I cared nothing for the end, and I knew exactly what they were doing. As soon as they mentioned the lawyers, I'm like, okay, he's going to fight for the castle because it's rightfully his, because it should have been his father's, Destina's uncle's, which then it should have been passed on to him. So I knew that's where they were going with that. But overall, I liked the chapter, and I really liked the bronze dragon part. That was a lot of fun. As always, thanks for listening. If you're reading along, come to twoguysgaming.net. I think I said com a couple of episodes ago. We are twoguysgaming.net. That's where all of our information is. There's our Twitter, our YouTube, our Instagram, which is becoming a little more active. The Twitter's becoming a little more active. I said by March, the YouTube should be up and running, and maybe even the Twitch. I have some ideas for what to do for those two social media sites, or whatever you want to call them. If you're not reading along and you want to read along, you can find the book at your local bookstore or your local multinational conglomerate. There's a link on the website in these show notes if you go there and want to click it. Thanks for listening. I hope you're enjoying. And I will talk to you tomorrow when I release the next episode and chapter 10. Bye, guys.
We are Two Guys Gaming.